Your Calgary Flames only play here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Through 60 minutes and beyond, the Flames talk. Post-game show starts now. Live from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge.
Following a 2-1 Flames victory over the Los Angeles Kings, a big one, a solid win for Calgary on home ice, and a really well-played game on both sides when it's all said and done. Yes, welcome to our Flames Talk post-game show. It's Pat Steinberg, Peter Labardius, and Derek Wills around the table, and we're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. If you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings, contact them today for a free estimate for all things basement-y. Visit DL Basement Systems.com. Flames Talk postgame on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. So go hit subscribe. And of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan after every Flames game. We'll go live to the Flames dressing room, get some live reaction from there. We'll hear live from associate coach Kirk Muller. If you missed Daryl Sutter live with us, we'll hear that and a whole lot more. But Lou, a solid night for the home side. That was as complete a 60 minutes or as complete a start to finish anyway that we've seen from him and seen from them in a while in this building, and did so against a really quality opponent, Lou.
Pat, I thoroughly enjoyed that hockey game. Thoroughly. I just thought it was played with great pace. There was good execution. And the Flames, after scoring first early on a power play, then got on their heels a little bit for about the next 5 or 6 minutes. Jacob Markstrom was terrific tonight. And in the last meeting of these two teams, the Flames had a very difficult time dealing with LA's speed and pressure. I thought the guys on the back end were very, very good tonight.
It's funny because I was driving in to practice yesterday and Jeff Barrett, sorry, do you need to jump in?
Yeah, just hold that thought. Okay. We're going to head right to the Flames locker room right now and get some post-game reaction on our Flames Talk post-game show. And we say hello to Trevor Lewis on this Tuesday night following a 2-1 victory over the Los Angeles Kings. Trevor, appreciate the time. Walk us through that one, a one-goal game or a tie game, basically, well, not basically, the entire way through, save for a few disallowed goals. Take us through that one for your group and how you liked it for your team tonight.
Yeah, I know. We had a game plan coming in. Obviously, the last game in LA didn't go so well for us. So, you know, we want to take away their speed and, you know, try to play behind them. They like to clog up that neutral zone pretty good, and they get turnovers that way. And, you know, I thought we came out strong, and, you know, we played a full 60 minutes. And Marky made some big saves there when we needed them, and I thought everyone contributed.
Trevor, it's been pretty well documented this year that your group has played in a lot of one-goal games. And so this was a one-goal game after 20, after 40, and then into the third period. The comfort level that you have kind of grown in playing in these one-goal games, how much did they help you in this one tonight?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you got a goal lead at home, that's what you want. And, you know, I thought we did a good job of not you know, just backing up. We kept going after them and putting pucks in and getting them back. And like I said earlier, I think Marky made some big key saves at the big key times.
Tell us about your line. What'd you like about the way that your group with Walker and Milan played tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been pretty good here lately. I think, you know, we all kind of play a similar style. And when we use our speed and get on that forecheck, I think it's a lot for D to handle, and we can get some turnovers and play in their zone and, you know, kind of grind them down. And obviously Walks has been a good addition, and you just get to keep going.
And that's the last thing I wanted to ask you, and that is about the progression of Walker Dewar. He scores the game winner in this game, another big goal for him. You've been playing with him a lot this season, Trevor. What have you seen in terms of how he's progressed as an NHLer?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of was on a similar path there, and you know, I talked to him a little bit about it, and it's a learning process. You know, you play in the AHL, and you kind of practice all week, and only play games on the weekend, and then you come up to the NHL, and you're playing games every other day, and you gotta be ready. So I thought, you know, he sat out a few games, and ever since he's came back in, you know, he's been there every night, and you know, I think it's kind of just a progression of learning curve, and he's done a great job.
Congratulations. I was going to call you Walker. Trevor, congratulations on the victory. Thanks so much for doing this, and good luck Friday in Vancouver, hey?
All right, thanks a lot.
That is Trevor Lewis, postgame following tonight's 2-1 victory over the Los Angeles Kings. As Derek, what you were saying just before we jumped in there with Trevor.
Yeah, so I was listening to the Jeff Merrick show on my way into the rink for practice yesterday, and he had Elliot Friedman on, as he always does, to start off the show. And they were talking about last weekend's games and how they thought there was a real playoff feel to so many of the games played last weekend. And then I thought about the Flames-Sharks game. Now, I know Calgary beat San Jose in that game, but it looked more like a preseason game to me than it did a playoff game. Tonight, completely different. This looked like a playoff game, and here's a stat that I love. I think you guys will both agree that the hardest arena in the National Hockey League to get credit for a hit in is Scotiabank Saddledome. I've talked to players about it.
It's right up there.
Only four Flames players didn't have at least one hit tonight. That tells the story to me. And I thought they battled from start to finish. Walker Duehr, who scored the game-tying goal and then got the primary assist on the game-winning goal scored by Nazem Kadri on Saturday, scores the game-winning goal tonight. Jacob Markstrom plays what I think was his second-best game of the season. He was stellar from start to finish. And the Flames snapped the Kings' franchise record long 12-game point streak. It was a hard-fought hockey game. It was a ton of fun to watch. That is as good as a 2-1 game gets. And here's another really interesting stat, and I threw it out during the broadcast. I'll throw it out again. We all kind of thought this was a Flames team that was built to win 2-1, 3-2 type of games, right? Did you know that was just the second win the Flames have this season when scoring two or fewer goals? They have one other win when scoring two or fewer goals, and that was that 1-0 shootout win versus the Wild back on March 7th. This is the team they were built to be. And they played to their, I hate to say they played to their identity, they played to what their identity was supposed to be against the Kings tonight. That was a great hockey game.
The marquee matchup, Lou, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. I thought the Flames did a really good job against those top players for the LA Kings, those top two lines for the LA Kings. Did a nice job. Their checking game was really on tonight.
Well, that's what it was all about tonight. And they got great performances from the Lindholm line, and obviously Michael and his group checking wise. They spent some quality time in the offensive zone. And, you know, one of the best parts as the game continued to play itself out for me, I saw moments from Nazem Kadri tonight that makes him special. Down the stretch in that game, he won some absolutely crucial 50-50, hard to play against type battles. And in these kind of games, that's what it boils down to. But Pat, the biggest thing for me on top of that was, you know, how much we talked about the Flames group of six on defense. I thought they had a really, really good night. Really good. But you're right. That's not an easy team to check. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's funny how you can look at the sport sometimes and how I do. I was very impressed with the Los Angeles Kings. In fact, now I'm as impressed with them as I have been at any point all season.
Yep.
Even though they lost the game. That's a really good team the Flames beat tonight.
Let's bring in Kirk Muller now. Flames associate coach joins us here on our Flames Talk post-game show following a 2-1 win over the LA Kings. Really solid outing from our vantage point. What about for you?
Well, we definitely have to be happy with that one. You know, it's nice when it's a big game and, you know, the guys all come with a big performance like that. And, you know, Markey probably has the best game of the year in nets. And, you know, it was a full effort from everybody. So you guys were just talking about how good of a team LA is, and they are. And we needed that type of game to get the win tonight.
Kirk, I thought 8 days ago, as Derek helps out with a little technical stuff. Kirk, 8 days ago, after the first few minutes, I just thought handling their pressure and an inability to break pucks out of your zone was really hard. How key was how you handled that tonight, which was so much better, I thought.
Yeah, we made some adjustments from obviously last time we played them. And There wasn't a lot of things from that last game in there that we wanted to bring into tonight's game, but we did make some adjustments. They're one of the best teams in the league for trying to penetrate through the neutral zone, and that 1-3-1 that they play is makes it difficult, and they do it well. So that's why they don't give up much. But I thought we had more speed tonight. We came up together in numbers, and we put pucks in an area where we could get a better forecheck, which leads to more ozone time, and then, you know, gave us opportunities to play our game tonight.
You're in charge of the power play. Power play has now scored 5 goals in the last 5 games and has 8 goals in the last 10 games. What are you seeing on the PP right now, and how much has mixing up the two units maybe freshened things up for the team?
Yeah, I think it's just the chemistry, you know, mm-hmm. and they seem that, you know, the chemistry, you know, with Lindy's group, you know, it gives us a look where, you know, they penetrate a lot from up top with top of the shot, and Lindy's, you know, so good on the other side and as a flanker. And then, you know, with, you know, Huberto's group, you know, they're all left-handed guys, so they're a little different looks. So, you know, we hit them with a couple different looks, but really, I think it's just finishing is a big one. You know, we've been, you know, pushing to get a lot of shots and opportunities, but at the end of the day, it's great, but if you don't finish, it doesn't mean anything. So I think that's been a big key lately.
With associate coach Kirk Muller following a 2-1 win over LA, we just asked Trevor Lewis this question before you walked in, and gave a really, really cool answer about, you know, kind of how he was in a similar spot to where Walker Dewar was, and the thought on his progression. What have you seen in that regard from the guy who scores the game winner tonight?
Well, you know what? It's when the door opens for you and you get an opportunity to play at the NHL level and get an opportunity to be in the lineup, you got to take full advantage of it. And I think he's spent his time in the minors, and he's brought some element to the game that we needed, the speed and the pace that he skates at. So he's a big kid. He can skate. He knows the game. He's reliable without the puck. And so it gives you a chance to play at this level. And he's got a great shot, and he's an opportunist right now. So, you know, you combine all that. He looks comfortable now. It looks like he feels like, hey, I could play in the NHL. And he's playing with two veteran guys that are helping him out. So he's played really well for us in the last few games for sure.
Kirk, when you match up against a team like this that is very strong and very fast, I always think that your center ice play needs to be at a really good place. How did you feel about that tonight, 1-4?
Well, you know what? It was a big test for them because we know what their four centermen are like, and they drive the bus a lot with that team. By committee tonight, all four centers, you know, taking on ice time and playing hard and playing against who they had to play against. And I thought they were all four of them were strong, you know, with the puck doing, you know, making plays, and without the puck. And if you can control the middle of the ice in hockey, then a lot of times you control the game. And I thought we did a pretty good job of that tonight.
Jacob Markstrom has been a busy guy. He has now started 13 of the last 14 games and appeared in 15 of the last 16 games. How good was your goaltender tonight?
Yeah. Well, you could see, I mean, he followed the puck well tonight, you know what I mean? He was on it. He read the plays, and they got some great shooters, and they mm-hmm. moved the puck quick. But you could see that when he's sharp like that, you know, he was a step ahead, and, you know, he was seeing the puck really well tonight. You know, and I thought he managed the game well, you know, as well. Like, you know, the times where he could have froze it to give us a break, he did. And we moved the puck when we wanted to keep momentum and all that. So overall, I just thought he was really sharp.
Thank you, Kirk, as always.
Kirk.
Congrats on the win.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kirk Muller, Flames associate coach, following tonight's 2-1 victory over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome with Derek Wills, Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg as we continue on your Flames Talk post-game show. Let's pick up right from there. Kirk's last answer on Jacob Markstrom. Time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And it came from Jacob Markstrom in period at number 3.
Stick handles to get by Backlund, and across the Flames line, loses the puck and finds it again in the near corner and spins to get away from Zadorov and drops it off to Anderson, who slaps it to Fiala, who's stopped by Markstrom, who sprawls to make his biggest save of the game.
That was a big one. Timely as well. That is one of the 33 stops made by Jacob Markstrom tonight. Brought to you by Shane Holmes, his save of the game. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kids Sport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Yeah, that was I think you said it upstairs, Derek, that for you the second best game this year for Jacob. The other one, of course, being that game that he absolutely stole in Minnesota where they needed him to.
Yeah, I thought he was outstanding tonight. The Flames gave up some grade-A chances, and he was there to stop all but one of them. And by my count, he made 5 10 bell saves that could have swung this game or won this game for the Kings. I thought he was the best player on the ice, and I'm happy to hear you picked him as the first star.
I don't even think it was in doubt. On a night where there were a lot of good Flames, mm-hmm. and there were a lot of good Kings, but he was an elite goaltender tonight. I don't think there's any question. And I like the fact that, because it's little things that I certainly try to look for. It's like Kirk said, do you make a clear to help your defense? Do you get to a rim behind the net to settle things down? Do you move a puck out of the zone to deal better with pressure? I don't think people realize that, you know, we think about game plans. Don't ever think that goalies don't have game plans going into every game and what they can expect from an opponent and what's really important. He was superb tonight. Superb.
Last piece of business to take care of with you two gentlemen before we get to the phone lines, which are open at 403-240-4444. Call now, or the text line, which is open for you at 960-960. Let's select tonight's player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. Lou, which way are you going
tonight? I'm going to give a few quick honorable mentions. I thought the pairing of Anderson and Hanifin was excellent, and they needed and got big minutes from both of them. I thought Noah saw the game really well tonight, and when he does that, he's a really good player. Mackenzie Weegar, again, he could easily have been the guy. He's been that for me in a lot of games, but I got to go with the goalie tonight. I really do. They needed it. This is a big game against a terrific team on home ice where this team has not played great, and he's had some tough nights. And as I'll tip my cap to Derek, who mentioned at one point during the game, and it was so true, and I know we were not very happy about it, it was nice to see him and hear him get the applause that he deserved, because he's gone through a lot here. The goalie was excellent. Excellent.
I like that pick. There's your player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. As we start to wrap things up with you two gentlemen, phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Hey, call now. Phone lines are open, or fire your texts off at 960-960. Flames win 2-1 over the LA Kings. Some final thoughts around the table from our broadcast crew, starting with Peter Labarge.
You know, Pat, there are nights when you sit upstairs and, you know, not that you take it for granted, but there's been some tough nights in this building tonight, and there's been a lot of tough things to assess. But as somebody who loves this sport beyond belief, that was just a terrific display of NHL hockey, and I thoroughly enjoyed it from the drop of the puck until the buzzer went. So in many ways, my big takeaway is I applaud both teams, because that to me was the NHL on display in a great way.
At this time of the year, with the position the Flames are in, just win, baby. I don't care how you do it. Just find a way to pick up 2 points. And they've done that in their last two games, but in very different ways. I said it before, I'll say it again. I thought Saturday's 5-3 victory over the Sharks looked like more of a preseason game than a postseason game. Tonight's game felt like a Stanley Cup playoff game. It was intense. It was hard-hitting. As I mentioned earlier, only 4 of the Flames' 18 skaters didn't have at least one hit in this game, in the toughest building in the NHL to get a hit in. So that says something. The goaltender was great. Walker Tuer, one of the stars of the show again. Saturday scores the game-tying goal and assists on Nazem Kadri's game-winning goal. Tonight he scores the game-winning goal. And I thought from top to bottom, the Flames played a really good hockey game against the team that has been the best team in the NHL since the All-Star break. The Kings came into this game 15-2-3 and with an .825 point percentage since the break. They came in with a three-game winning streak and a franchise record-long 12-game point streak. They also came in with some intangibles like confidence and momentum, and the Flames found a way to beat them in what was a slugfest. So kudos to the Flames, who have clearly not given up on trying to get back to the Stanley Cup playoffs. The first thing they have to do is take care of their own business. They did that tonight. They beat the Kings in one of two games that was remaining on their schedule against playoff teams. They've got one against the playoff team, and that game is against the Jets, a game that they're going to probably have to win in regulation time. And then they've got six games against non-playoff teams. We know those won't be easy, but they're winnable games for the Flames. This race isn't over. Great game tonight, and we'll see if they can back it up with a big win against one of their arch rivals in the Canucks on Friday.
Thank you, boys.
You're welcome, Pat.
Derek Wills, Peter Labardius signing off on this Tuesday night. Flames win 2-1 over the Los Angeles Kings. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. Let's hear from head coach Daryl Sutter as he spoke post-game. If you missed it a little earlier when we heard it live, want to make sure we get it on the Flames Talk post-game podcast. Here's the head coach following his team's 2-1 win.
Just your thoughts on the game?
It's a pretty good game. Overcame some interesting calls. Still won.
Have you ever coached a game with three disallowed goals?
Probably, but not very. I thought two of them were goals.
Can you listen on the discussion on the second disallowed goal, what the ref said to you at the bench?
Which one?
The second one took a little bit longer.
Well, they just exactly what they announced, inconclusive, but if I'm leaning on the net and looking down there, I think I can see if it was in the net or not.
Is it nice to have a low-scoring game versus this team given the Barnburners?
It's a one-goal game. Doesn't really make much difference. China. You know what? Goaltenders both made some big saves and got some calls.
Well, that's the kind of game you preach, though, to hold that 2-1 lead for over two periods.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case anymore. I don't think I've preached that. I think maybe 10 years ago you did. I think now you try to score the next one and keep big guys off the sheets.
That's a pretty lethal team to hold off the...
Yeah, they got two big lines, that's for sure. You look at the Kopitar line, and it's three top guys, and then they got three guys in the second line that they've traded or signed as unrestricted guys. They're pretty big horses for them.
In a game that's this close, when you have those kind of calls that go against you, how do you make sure that it doesn't have an impact on the mood of the bench?
Not much I can do about it. I'm not going out there.
Are you impressed by how your team, I guess, rolled with the
person? Yeah, you know what, because we won, I am. So if they just scored to make it 2-2, you'd ask the next question, the other question, right? So.
Daryl, can you speak to the importance of that breakaway save when we're still ahead?
Well, there's two or three of them. I mean, it's a shorthanded breakaway they had. The one at the end of the first period, block shot, just, you know, it's under 30 seconds, just filter the puck through or behind, power play also. So there's probably two or three. I mean, give Marky full marks.
There you go. Head coach Daryl Sutter post-game following tonight's 2-1 win over the LA Kings. Hey, call now 403-240-4444. Lines are open if you want to chat on our Flames Talk post-game show. Text now 960-960. Our Flames Talk post-game show on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. If you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings, contact them today for a free estimate. For all things basement tea, visit dlbasementsystems.com. Your phone calls, your texts around the corner as we're underway on your Flames Talk post-game show. Pat Steinberg along with you, and we're back around the corner. This is Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, it's Haley Salvian from The Athletic. For a look at the latest on your Calgary Flames and NHL news, go click and subscribe to the Hockey Central 960 podcast. While you're there, please rate and review the show.
Our Flames Talk post-game show continues from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Okay, Flames take a 2-1 win over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome to wrap up a three-game homestand. And the phone lines are now open at 403-240-4444. The text line open at 960-960 as we've got lots to talk about on this Tuesday night. Heck of a night for Jacob Markstrom, your number one star with 33 stops on 34 shots. Let's hear from Jacob before we get to the text line and the phone lines. Couple of lines open right now if you want to jump in. Here's Jacob Markstrom post-game inside the locker room.
Jake, a pretty big win for your group after facing them down in LA there. It didn't go the way you wanted. What can you say about the bounce back effort here across the board?
Yeah, I mean, obviously not too happy about the last meeting against these guys, and still fresh in the memory. And today I thought we played a better game, and big 2 points.
How did you see the Fiala save? Because it was brilliant. We saw a number of looks at it, but how did you see that thing taking place?
They had some people in front of the net, and when it got up to the D, and I thought he was going to shoot it, and then he passed. It got a little late, but lucky enough it hit me. So
when you get three goals that don't go your way, and the one was quite a long period of time to wait and wonder, does that change your approach, or do you just kind of sit there like everybody else and just kind of wait to find out?
Yeah, just like you guys. I'm just chilling, relaxing, and see what happens.
Jacob, I wanted to ask you about another Fiala save. Lindholm was just saying he had a breakaway for so long at the end of the first there that it was almost like a penalty shot. So what's going through your mind in that moment?
It's better to just kind of not have anything in your mind and kind of just wait him out, because he wasn't going very fast, and just wait to see what he was going to do and not bite on anything before that.
You take so much pride in what you bring to this team to be a difference maker on a night like tonight. What's that mean to you?
Big 2 points. That's, put them in the books and then go back to work.
They came in with 19 goals, I think it was, in the last three games. Other than your stops, what else helped to keep them at one?
Obviously, all the players sacrificing, blocking shots, and making sure the vision is clear for me when the shots come from the outside, and I thought we did a good job with that. So the guys played a good game.
Did you find the team was better managing the play in front of you now, maybe compared to other games?
I was making some stops, which helps.
There you go. That is goaltender Jacob Markstrom post-game following a 2-1 win over the LA Kings. Okay, to the text line we go. Couple of lines open if you want to jump in on the phone lines at 403-240-4444. But to the text line at 960-960 we go right now. This from Andrew in Renfrew says, gutsy win tonight. Not giving up hope for the playoffs. Yep, the upcoming game versus Winnipeg feels like the only game that matters this season. This says from Mike, nice couple of games for the team, Pat. Thought every line pulled their fair share, but I thought Markstrom and Dewar really stood out tonight. I don't know if the team makes it or not, but I have great seats to the final game of the season, so selfishly, I wouldn't mind attending a meaningful Game 82. If the Jets lose to the Sharks while the Preds beat the Bruins, then look out, because anything is possible. This reads, been going to the Flames game since I was 4. I can't help but think if there was a Pride night growing up, I might have felt differently in sports. The Flames did an amazing job with it all. It made me proud to be a Flames fan. Yeah, I thought they absolutely nailed Pride Night tonight, as they've nailed a lot of their nights. Let's be honest. I mean, this was really cool to see those Pride Night jerseys worn during warm-up. They look great. All of the proceeds to the auctions of those jerseys are going to be auctioned off. Is going to go to the CSEC Inclusion Fund through the Flames Foundation. They did a great job with Pride Night all night. There was Pride Night. There was Black History Month, the jerseys they wore, and celebrating that night. There was the Indigenous celebration. Obviously, what they do with the Canadian Forces Appreciation Night. There was Lunar New Year, and of course Hockey Fights Cancer. So really good job, but this one was neat to see the Pride jerseys out there, and super, super cool to see it all go off the way it did this evening. This from Coleman, who says, Pat, unreal win by the boys tonight, but why can't we see half this effort every night? I haven't seen them finish checks and play everyone hard and not give an inch at all this season. Also, I know it's a long season and guys can have off games, but Kadri really needs to start showing some more heart like he did in the third tonight. If he played half that hard down the stretch, they might be in a better place. And finally, Dewar popping off on the fourth line. Do you think he deserves to be moved up to the lineup? Thanks, and keep up the good work, Patty. That comes from Coleman. Well, I would say this about Duer. I think he's perfectly slotted where he is right now. And I'm not trying to limit him going forward, but right now I think he is perfectly slotted. And I think that having, whether it's Dubé on the right side of the Kadri line, obviously you're going to keep Coleman and Huberdeau in their spots. So I wouldn't. Now, you know, it all depends on how things go, injuries, all that type of stuff. But, yeah, I definitely believe that Duer is well slotted and is in a good spot to be there right now. However, I'm not going to limit him going forward in terms of what he might be career-wise. He's still a, you know, pretty young NHLer. So, you know, I'd like to see how it develops. But right now, I think on the number four line, number four right wing, I think he's a really good really good matchup advantage to have if you're the Flames. This one reads, that had to be the most entertaining 2-1 game I've ever seen. Great effort on both sides, and the Flames showed a ton of moxie to stand in there when it seemed like it could have gone the other way in a heartbeat. Markstrom was unbelievable tonight, deserves his flowers here for being a steady force as of late. And I got to say, the amount of breakaway saves that man has made this last month or so is remarkable. He stood tall and made the timely saves that we all took for granted last season. Fingers crossed for the Sharks tonight. Have a good night all. This one from Sam, who says, Pat, fabulous performance tonight by Markey. Duer again brought it, and I liked the energy by Lucic. It was a rare close to 60-minute effort by the Flames. Didn't agree with the second and third goals being waved off. Yes, the Flames have inched a little closer with the win, but I'll throw in an AEW quote for you tonight. Can the Flames open up the forbidden door and squeeze into the playoffs, or will the Jets or Predators get the last laugh and say, I'm better than you, and you know it? I don't watch enough AEW, Sam, so I don't fully understand the reference, but I'm gonna guess that you absolutely nailed the reference on that text. This reads, Flames played their heart out with the refs against us. They still showed their pure strength against a top 10 team. Yeah, there's some interesting calls tonight. You know, I kind of understand them all. I do. And yet, although the first two I do. I mean, they missed it on the third one. Should have been a 3-1 win. That one should have been a goal. But the other two, I kind of understand the reason why neither of them ended up being counted. And we can get into that more as the night goes along and as the show goes along. This really solid game. Every line looked good. Not much to complain about apart from the reffing. Sure, the empty netter was just a missed call, but the second one was baffling to me. Is it just me, or can you clearly see the puck in the net from the front angle? Well, I don't think you clear, at least what I saw, I don't think you clearly can. Now, the problem is that it's a reverse angle. There's that the angle coming from the other end of the rink, I just don't think you could ever say that was conclusive. So it looked like I to be honest with you, I think it probably was a goal, but because it was called a no goal on the ice from where the official saw it, I didn't see enough to be like conclusive. Common sense tells me it was probably a goal, but in a game, in a one-goal game like that, you probably need to have conclusive evidence. So I thought it was a goal, but I understood why they didn't call it a goal, if that makes sense. And we can argue about that or get into that as the night goes along. This from Will in BC. Hope is still alive. I want to give a shout-out to Markstrom for his 970 performance. See, it matters. To me, the Flames played like they haven't many losses this year. They deserve to win, but they didn't get 970 goaltending. Let's see more of that. Pat, if the Flames get mathematically eliminated, do you think we'll see Wolf? Yeah, I think we might see him in a game or two. I think we probably should see him in a game or two if they're A, mathematically eliminated, or B, they end up clinching and have a game or two before the end of the season. Again, it all depends on the circumstances. Obviously, if game 82 matters, we will not be seeing Dustin Wolf at any time. If game 80 or 81 or 82 doesn't matter, different story. So we'll see how it all plays out. What else we got here on the text line from Nathan? Pat, very impressive win. Only thing I have to say is officiating left a lot to be desired. Two of the goals should have counted. First one was clearly offside, but you won't convince me otherwise on the last two. Yeah, Nathan, we'll have to probably agree to disagree on the second one. The third one was just a missed call that was onside, but it was not reviewable. It was a call on the ice, and unfortunately that can't be overturned. So should have been a goal, wasn't a goal. It's that middle one. The two offsides, there's nothing you could do. The first one was clearly offside. The second offside was a missed call, but unfortunately you can't reverse it. It's that middle one that took 7 or 8 minutes to get the review on. That was the one that I think is going to be the most contentious. But Luckily, they won the game, so we don't have to talk too much about it. This, Pat, huge win. Markey making the big stops. Big part of the Flames W. So my call was right on the pads. He went back to the E-Flex 5. It was less a tech question and more a superstition thing. Glad it worked. There you go. 960 on the text line. Jump in line right there. Lots more time to get your texts in, and the phone lines are open as well. Call now, 403-240-4444. If you want to chat on our Flames Talk post-game show following a Flames 2-1 victory over the LA Kings. We'll kick it off on the phone lines tonight by saying hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. Can you hear me, buddy?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay, good. I'm calling from a different phone, so I just wanted to make sure. That AEW reference from that prior text was actually spot on. I'm an AEW fan and actually have watched AEW live quite a few times, so I suggest to the Calgary people when they come there, if the tickets aren't too pricey, go. You'll enjoy yourselves.
Okay.
So I'm gonna ask you, have you been following or hearing what Frank Saravalli has been saying about Daryl Sutter here lately, especially today?
Well, I mean, which parts? So,
specifically, what do you think about the claim that he made that apparently he basically wouldn't let anybody know when Jacob Peltier would debut, so, you know, the player could notify his parents to come watch the game, and then basically a player had to go tell him, like, hey, you know, stop being ridiculous and let everybody know. And then so Peltier debuts, and then those comments he made about those now infamous comments he made about Peltier were more or less not so much to slag the kid, but to kind of tell the organization, like, hey, I make the calls here when it comes to players, not you. What do you think about that?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
I know Sutter's a hard ass, but that doesn't surprise you that he'd go to that length, like, to do that. It's just weird to me. The whole.
Well, I know, George, that the lineup card is something that he, like, lots of times people don't know who's playing and who's starting and who's in, who's out. Lots of times that's not. That's something that he holds really close to the vest. So, no, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not saying I agree with it, but no, I'm not surprised by it. It's kind of in line with the way he's gone about his business.
Okay, this makes me curious because I know he hasn't been perfect all year, and I know what's been going on with this team. I mean, we've said it ad nauseum, but look, there's a lot of people responsible. But I feel like, and I could be wrong too. I feel like there's
George. They still might make the playoffs, man. I mean, there's still 7 games to go, and they're by no means out of this thing.
Pat. I mean, look, I'm not there yet. I'm not. I hope I'm wrong. But it is this whole dysfunction thing is really concerning for me for a lot of reasons. You know, like if they don't, like you said it yourself, this team is in a bit of an existential crisis. So it's, I don't know. I'm wondering if people are trashing on Sutter because he's old school, or I'm just curious about it. When I heard that today, even I was surprised that, you know, if that's true, that gives me a little bit different view of Sutter too, you know, and that's a shame because I don't like that, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Are you surprised that Coronado signed?
No.
No? Okay. Okay.
Everybody said he said the entire time he's going to sign. The Flames said the entire time he's going to sign.
He did. Again, I guess that's just recency bias and all that's happened to me. I was kind of skeptical on that, but I'm glad he signed. I hope it works out for him, and I hope if they are in a position where they don't make the playoffs that he gets a few games in. And what do you see as his ceiling? I know it's kind of a hard question to ask him straight to college, but what do you see as his kid's ceiling for? You think he's like he can be a legit top six forward?
I think he's got that. I think that's probably top six forward is probably what his ceiling is.
Yeah. And then also, I know he's played a lot of center in college. Do you think the Flames would primarily try to use him more at right wing, a position he's more used to?
I think they're looking at him as a right winger right now.
Okay. All righty. Well, my man, you know, that's all I got tonight. Like I said, I'm calling from another phone. I had some things go on with mine. So, It's going to – I mean, this team's making it interesting. Well, I'll say that. Like I
you
said,
don't sound very interested in it.
I am. I'm just – it's one of those things where I've been pulled in and out so often that I'm kind of numb to it at this point. It's like, okay. And plus, like I said, it's still a very daunting task, so I don't want to get, like, too hyped up, you know, kind of avoid getting crushed if they miss by, like, 2 points. So I know I sound like I'm not, but it's just I'm trying to guard against the heartbreak if it happens, right? So I just want to temper my expectations.
All right.
So, you know, I hope that's fair. I know people will disagree with me and I'll get trashed again for it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, no, I don't. You're not. You can go about your business however you want. You know, that's what. No.
Hey, man, look. In closing, man, for better or for worse, I mean, I've been a fan of this team for over 40 years. I'll continue to be a fan of this team. I mean, it is what it is, right? If the season ends how it looks like it's going to end, it's going to suck. But whatever. I guess we move on. What can I say at this point? Let's see. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong. I promise you I hope I'm wrong. I hope that a miracle happens and Winnipeg loses a ton of games and we win a ton of games and get in. And Nashville stops winning too. They beat Boston tonight. I'm like, yeah, of course they did. So it's going to be an interesting race. At least it's good for hockey fans in general too. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, at the very least, they're not dead yet. And, I mean, they still have an uphill climb, but the Jets have no interest in shutting that door. So I don't know if they're going to get in, but they're going to, the very least, keep playing meaningful hockey for the next little bit here.
7 more games, right?
Yep.
All right, my man. Hey, we'll talk soon, my friend. I hope you have a great night, buddy.
Okay, George. Appreciate it, buddy. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Number of lines open if you want to jump in on this Tuesday night and chat following a win over the LA Kings as we continue along and say hello to Brad. What's going on, Brad?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, I like to call in and talk about a couple of things here. So one is that the goal is disallowed. You remember Kopitar was standing over there for 7 or 8 minutes when the refs were going over what they were going to call. And then, Patty, the Flames were going to send their captain over there, but then they noticed they still don't have one. I just don't know why they won't name a captain.
Well, I mean, at this point, they're probably not going to this season. And then,
well, what's wrong with Backlund? Like, there's a lot of guys.
There's nothing wrong with it. I just don't think they're going to name a captain anytime soon.
Well, is Sutter wearing the C, or, like, who's the captain?
They don't have
maybe
a captain. We've just established they don't have a captain.
Well, we one time we went through the teams that didn't have captains. Remember, it didn't start off very well. Anyway, the second part is I think what George was talking about is some of the decisions that Sutter makes. Right, like we're talking 6 minutes left in the game and Lucic's out there again. 4 minutes left in the game, Lucic finds himself on the ice. You know, Flames take a penalty at the 6 minute mark there. Like, I just don't know if the right personnel are on the ice at the right time. And, you know, I'm a fan of Sutter, at least I used to be. You know, obviously the man's got a pedigree. He's won a lot of games. He's won Stanley Cups. You know, he knows what he's doing. But I just – some of these decisions all season are just head-scratchers. And I just didn't know if you wanted to comment on that or –
There have definitely been some ones this year that have, I didn't really mind any of the decisions in this game tonight. I thought that when you're playing a game like this where, you know, you're in a one-goal game and both teams are rolling 4 lines, you're just going to react to what the other team is doing. So I didn't have a problem with any of the utilization. Nothing really jumped out to me in a head-scratching way tonight. Now, that game against Vegas... Sure, when it was when you saw the fourth line out there late, that was a little strange, and I grant you that. But for the most part, tonight I thought tonight I had no problem with the utilization.
Well, the San Jose game was really telling because you know the Flames jumped out to a huge lead to start with, and then all of a sudden things just changed. Right, they were dumping pucks, they were getting center, and you know everything was going up the middle. That was the biggest thing in that San Jose game was the change. When things started falling apart, and if you looked what the Flames were doing, was pucks were just going up the middle all the time, right? Everything was up the middle. It's getting intercepted, turned over, and, you know, and that's great to play off the center of the ice, but it was ad nauseum in that San Jose game, and then they finally got back to using the boards and moving the puck to the outside, and, you know, and things changed. I don't know if you noticed that, but I saw that in the back half of the San Jose game, and I'm just trying to tie it into tonight because it's not really relevant. But I just Sutter's decisions, I think. I don't know. I guess that's what I'm trying to get to.
All right. And I grant you, there have definitely been some ones this year that have been hard to wrap your head around. I grant you that.
Yeah,
for
no,
sure.
unlike George, I think the Flames will make the playoffs. And I'm just wondering, do you think Sutter's, like, his contract, I think, is one more year, right?
Two more years after this. Yep.
Okay. So he's in this for a while then, unless the Flames decide to go another direction. It's basically what that boils down to.
Correct.
Okay. So he's got 2 years left.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. And I think, too, you know, the last one, you know, and I think George talked about this, just some of the comments that were made about some of the players and, you know, that are on the Wranglers and, you know, and different things that were said over the season. Some of them were, you know, jaw-dropping, right? And I think if you gut people, if you just cut the cord of them like that, I don't think you get a great response when the guy's finally playing for you. Or in the room itself, and I
yeah, Brad. What are you going to do if they make the playoffs and win a round or something? All of a sudden,
well, they are going to. I think the Flames are going to win the Stanley Cup still this year, but even if they do, I still want Sutter gone in September.
If they win the Stanley Cup, do you want them to make a coaching change?
I still want them to make a coaching change because I think these guys have been stripped down too much. And I think the soul of the team has been cut out too often. And I think you see that hollowness sometimes. He didn't tonight. Tonight was a fantastic game. I really saw it in the San Jose game and in bits and pieces in the Vegas game, which the Flames really, you know, for the larger part, played well there too. So I'm just wondering if the problem is at the top. Like if Sutter's the guy that's got to take the fall for no matter what happens this season, whether they win the Stanley Cup or not, or, you know, win a round or two. Or, you know, I'm just saying – I'm just wondering if we're seeing effects now of maybe an older school way of coaching that just doesn't work on this day and age.
I don't know. Let's wait to look. I think there have definitely been some stretches this year where the coaching style has not worked, or maybe that's not the right way of putting it. Coaching style there have been some butting of heads between the two sides. I don't think there's any doubt about that, or between certain players anyway, this year with this head coach. I don't think there's any doubt about that. That part has been made. I think we've, you know, been pretty clear on that so far this year. Whether or not that ends up being the reason why they make the playoffs or miss the playoffs, I don't know. Let's wait to see how it plays out. This season still has lots left in it. There's still 7 games to go and a playoff race that the Flames are right in the middle of, right? So, I don't know. I think there's still a lot to be evaluated. And let's, again, as we've been saying, like, maybe let's leave the post-mortem until the season is done.
Oh, yeah, no, and I don't want to go that way. I think the Flames will make the playoffs. In fact, I'm confident they will. If you look at who they're playing, right, they've got Anaheim, Chicago, 2 against Vancouver, San Jose, and, what, 2 against Winnipeg or something like that, or 1 against Winnipeg at least.
1 against
So
Winnipeg.
There's your 7 games. Those are all beatable teams, save for the Winnipeg game. And they should beat the Canucks twice. Hopefully they will. And I think the Flames will make the playoffs. And it's just a matter now. You know, if they do and they're playing Vegas in the first round, the Flames could probably win that round. I mean, the Flames can go a lot further than a lot of people think. And I'm totally optimistic. I'm just talking about, for some reason, yeah, I'm being critical of Sutter right now, and maybe it's not the right time and place for that. But, yeah, let's stay hopeful and optimistic, because I really do think the Flames will make the playoffs, and crazy things can happen. And Sutter did that with L.A., right, where the team came in 8th, I think it was, won the Stanley Cup. So, stuff can happen.
All right, man. I appreciate the call, Brad.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for taking my call.
No problem. Be well, man. 403-240-4444 is your phone number. Following a Flames 2-1 win over the LA Kings here at the Scotiabank Saddledome as we continue along. A few lines are open if you want to chat on this Tuesday night. You won't get a busy signal if you call now. Let's say hello to Sean. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how are you doing, bud?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, man. Good. First, George and Brad, they're a little negative on tonight, but we'll try and change that up for you. Yeah, overall, I saw a good hard 60 minutes from the Flames. And, you know, even the third period there when LA started to turn it on, Markstrom played outstanding.
I wanted to get your thoughts. I know you briefly discussed it already, but that 7-minute wait on the disallow goal, or I guess the no goal, from the angle on Sportsnet, it looked like the puck did cross the line, in my opinion.
I saw the exact same thing you did. My buddy has texted me about 400 times his zoomed in picture on his TV. But can you conclusively, without a doubt, say from that angle that it crossed the line? I don't think you can, because it's a reverse angle from way far away. I just don't think that's the only angle that showed anything close. I think it probably did go in, but I don't think that you can conclusively say that it did based on that angle. But and you can, if you can, that's fine. I just, based on, you know, looking at it from what I understand the rule to be, I don't think you can conclusively say that that thing was 100% over the line from that angle, even though it probably was a goal.
Well, my only argument to that is, you know, there's plays where it'll happen where a goaltender will have his glove over the puck and his glove appears to be over, you know, the goal line, but you don't really know where the puck is, but you assume it's over. So, you know, I don't know. But
well, and I think there were a couple of things on that goal. I think number one, there was, did it cross the line on that one instance? And number two, when did the referee intend to blow the whistle? And I think number two was I think number two was pretty easy. They intended to blow the whistle in enough time that it wouldn't, when the puck was clearly in, because it did eventually clearly go in, the whistle was blown by that point. But the point where that we was actually contested about whether or not it went in, that's the part that I just don't know if you can say it was conclusively in. I did not think that they got robbed or jobbed on that call just based on the bad angle, that the only good angle or the only somewhat telling angle wasn't good enough to be like, yes, that was clearly in. That's just the way I saw it, and we don't have to agree on it.
Oh no, that's fine. It's a good conversation, so it's all right. Special teams won it for us again tonight. I think Monch had his power play goal, and then Trevor Lewis took the two penalties. First one I didn't really agree with, but regardless, you know, two for two on the kill, and you know, like I said, LA had a good strong push in the third there, but Markstrom, I know, on Derek's call, he went nuts for that save. So that was awesome. I'm sure the building was pretty loud after that.
Yeah.
Great on, man. Well, appreciate your time. Keep up the good work, and I'll talk to you soon.
Good stuff, Sean. Be well. Appreciate the call, man.
You too, brother. Bye-bye.
Thanks, buddy. Flames win by a 2-1 score over the LA Kings. Take one more call before we head back inside the Flames locker room, but the phone lines are open. A little slow on a Tuesday, so if you want to jump in, you can do so right now at 403-240-4444. Okay. Flames have now won 3 of their last 4, and we say hello to Randy. What's going on, Randy?
How's it going, Pat?
Good, man.
Oh, good. You know, I have a tough time trying to figure out this team. I'm not going to lie to you. But this was an impressive performance.
Yeah, they played really well tonight.
I thought it was like that. The kind of style that if they went into the playoffs, they'd have a really good chance versus virtually anybody, right? But, yeah, this is my problem, is that you see this stuff and then you see other things, and it's tough to judge the team, but maybe they're coming together. Maybe, you know, a lot of people criticize Daryl Sutter about his coaching style, but specifically with young people, but even with like the Huberdeaux and the Kadrys and that kind of stuff. And maybe it just takes a long time for them to kind of get on board, right?
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, maybe they are coming together. I mean, there's 7 games to go and everything's still to play for. Nothing's really changed in that regard, and we'll see.
Yeah. It's kind of my thought. It's almost a wait and see process at this point in time, because I really do believe if they get in, they have a good chance against virtually anybody they play, unless Colorado.
I think so, that I think outside of Colorado because of who they are, I don't think there's a favorite in any series in the Western Conference. I really don't. I think Colorado will be and should be favored against whoever they play. But honestly, whether it's Winnipeg, you know, maybe Nashville just because of their depleted roster, if the Preds get in, that's just a cool accomplishment. They were able to do it. But if it goes the – if it's Calgary or Winnipeg then gets in, man, I don't know if there is a I honestly don't know if there is a favorite in any of these series.
Or at least a significant favorite anyway. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I get what you're saying. Yeah. And so it was funny because when we lost 8-2 to Los Angeles last time, I was like, man, there's zero chance. That's it's heartbroken. My wife is heartbroken. We were on the floor like there's zero chance. And now all of a sudden it's back to the same thing.
I don't.
And there's a chance. And I thought about it for a little while and, you know, there's a lot of criticism about the roller coaster, and I understand why. But in some ways, it makes every game a little bit of a do or die, and it kind of makes it, I don't know if fun is the right word, but you're emotionally engaged in every game.
Well, it's a whole lot better. Like, is it better when they're clinched with 10 games to go? Yes.
Well, yeah.
But
is it, though?
This is better than there being nothing to play for in the final 10 games.
Yeah, but let's say you're Boston or whatever, and you clinched eons ago, right? Now, the rest of the games are they really interesting, or are they just sitting there on their thumbs waiting for the playoffs, right?
Well, it worked out all right with Colorado last year. Colorado was a pretty good team last season and still won the Stanley Cup.
I'm not saying it's going to wreck the team. I'm just saying as a fan, right? Does it matter if, like, Boston lost to Nashville tonight? Does it matter? Like, is anybody going to call in and be really angry at the Boston team that lost?
Well, I mean, I think you'd enjoy being a Bruins fan right now, Randy.
Oh, absolutely. But you probably wouldn't care that much about every single game, right?
Well,
for the rest of the season until you get to play.
Maybe you wouldn't be as invested in game whatever tonight was against Nashville the same way you would be. But I still think it would be all right being a Bruins fan.
Oh, it might be better. I don't know. Yeah, but I'm just – there is an advantage to being in this race and this the emotional investment into each and every game. You can feel it in your calls. Like, everybody's either really happy or really sad. Some people are fairly consistent in their roles. But there is, an emotional investment in every game. Like, even this one where I thought we were going to lose. I really did. And I didn't even think we were going to lose. We were out of the playoffs, but I just thought we were going to lose. And they came out and they played that heck of a game. And you look at it and, you know, you're emotionally – charged would be the way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's pretty much all I had to say, Pat. You have an excellent night. Good luck with everything else.
All right, Randy. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. Flames win 2-1 over the LA Kings as we continue along on the phone lines this evening, 403-240-4444, or the text line, 960-960. Call now, text now. Would love to hear from you. Heck of a night from Jacob Markstrom. He was your number one star following a 33-save performance as the Flames continue their playoff push with 7 games to go. Let's go back inside the Flames locker room. Elias Lindholm postgame following tonight's 2-1 win over the Kings.
Elias, probably should start with your goaltender who had a couple of key saves for your group tonight. I know how much you guys value him, but he was dialed in again tonight.
Yeah, he was sharp. Made some big stops and yeah, he probably stole us 2 points there.
And to have 3 goals not go your way or disallowed or however you want to slice it up, that's pretty unique. You don't see that. What can you say about the resiliency of your group to kind of keep going?
No, it was good. I mean, obviously, you never know when. And you know, we just stayed with it. Marky, like we talked about, played really well in that. And you know, I thought in the third we had pretty good control.
During a longer review, like the second goal, how do you keep your energy on the bench, or how do you maintain focus when you're probably like the fans and just looking around?
You just gotta, you know, stay in the moment and you know, not focus too much on what's going on. So just try to, you know, skate a little and get the legs going again.
You had the best seat in the house. Was that puck in?
I don't know. I haven't seen the replay.
Which is the best stop that you remember from Markstrom? Which one stands out for you?
Today?
Yeah.
maybe the one on Fiala was pretty solid. I don't know. That's just the latest one I remembered. It was probably somewhere out there. But that was a nice save.
How about the one at the end of the first period, the breakaway there to keep you guys in the lead? How big was that?
Yeah, no, it was huge. You know, he was good all night. Looked really sharp, and we need him to play like that.
Jacob, this was a team that you played tonight that kind of smacked you around a little bit down in L.A., and now you come back. I said Jacob, I'm sorry. Sorry. Elias. Rasmus. A lot of sweets. But just the idea of a bounce back against a team that, you know, not only you have to beat, but a team that you wanted to get back at.
Yeah, obviously we got smashed a couple last week, and you know, they're a good team. Play fast, have some good players that works hard, and they seem to have a really good, really good system that works for them. So you know, they're hard to beat, and obviously after the 8-2 loss last week, we want to get this one back, and obviously we need it. We're in playoff mode.
Elias, I know you were asked about the breakaway at the end of the first, but that whole sequence almost, like, Fiala had a ton of time. It's almost in slow motion. How did you see that sort of save play out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a breaker from the red line, so it was almost like a penalty shot or shootout. So, you know, it was, you know, I thought Marcus stayed calmed in there for a long time, and you know, read him pretty well and made a nice save. He was good.
There you go. That is Elias Lindholm postgame following tonight's 2-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings. Tonight's game has been brought to you by South Point Toyota. It's also gone final in San Jose on this Tuesday night. Sharks blank the Winnipeg Jets 3-0. So the Flames now 2 points back of a playoff spot with even games played on the Jets. 7 games to go each team. Winnipeg still has the leg up when it comes to those tiebreakers, but the Flames even closed the gap in that respect, now 3 back on the first tiebreaker. So it's going to be interesting down the stretch. Calgary closing the gap within 2, the Predators within 3, and they're the team kind of with all those games in hand the Preds have. They're going to be an interesting stalking horse as this whole thing plays out as well. Phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Text line open, 960-960. Back to your phone calls and texts in just a second. The Alberta-made player of the game tonight, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery. In the pregame show, we selected Tyler Toffoli. Tonight, Toffoli, 16-44, had one shot and 6 shot attempts, 1 hit, 1 takeaway, and 1-for-1 in the faceoff dot. Tyler Toffoli was our Alberta-made player of the game. Okay, call now as we continue along on a Tuesday night. Text now as well. Big win for the Flames, 2-1 over the LA Kings. We're coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. If you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings, contact them today for a free estimate for all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Let's go back inside the locker room for the final time tonight. Flames beat the LA Kings 2-1. Their playoff hopes still very much alive. And let's hear from Walker Dewar. He scored the game winner with just over 2 minutes to go in the first period. Walker Dewar post-game inside the Flames locker room.
What did you see as the difference out there tonight?
I thought just our 60-minute effort, staying with it the whole game. It was felt like kind of a playoff game. We had our pushes, they had their pushes, and you know, I thought Marky stood on his head tonight and gave us a chance to win for sure.
Trevor Lewis is a savvy veteran. Was that a bank pass or a missed shot?
I don't know. You might have to ask him, but if I'm a betting man, I think he was trying to shoot and just a good bounce there for us, and I was able to put it in.
It's nice to come out on top of one of these one-goal games after having so many go the other way so far this season.
Yeah, I think it was kind of bound to happen, right? We've been putting in the effort, and it was nice to see one going our way.
A lot of the calls not going your way, especially with those disallowed goals. Just curious how you thought your team responded after each of them.
Yeah, I think just kind of having that next shift mentality, kind of flush it, and whether it goes your way or not, just getting back out there and getting back to the game plan for sure.
Well, that's a lot of horsepower down there to keep at one goal for the last two periods. What was the secret besides Jacob?
Besides Markey making those huge saves, I think just kind of keeping them to the outside and getting in the shot lanes and just not letting them use the seams, just kind of keeping them to the outside, I think.
It seemed to me like one of the key moments played out in slow motion there at the end of the first period. Fiala's got a breakaway from the red line in, basically. How did you see that? What's kind of going through your mind at that moment, and how did you see it unfold?
Yeah, I can't really remember how we got the breakaway, but, yeah, you know, he's a dangerous player coming down. But, you know, we have a lot of confidence in Markey, and we've seen him make that save plenty of times, so wasn't a surprise that he made the save, and I'm really happy that he did.
You talked about having a playoff feel today. Did it have that sort of emotion that you guys want to have with those kind of games going forward, with the playoff style?
Yeah, I think so. I thought we were all invested from the drop of the puck. Really good atmosphere. It was a really good crowd, and, yeah, I thought it was a physical, kind of a tight-checking playoff-type game.
What was the mood on the bench and the feel when Markstrom was making those big saves, like he made so many over that second and third period?
Yeah, I think it gives a huge jump to the group, right? You see him kind of bailing us out at times, and he's giving his best effort, so we can only go out there and do the same for him.
Have you noticed some fans starting to chant do when you're touching the puck?
No, I don't think so. I'm just kind of focused on carrying the puck there, but no, I mean, it's cool if they are, but no, I don't know if it.
We talked the other day, you know, you're only a couple of years removed from college. You didn't know what was coming next when you signed. So what's it like to be in this wild card chase and be, I guess, such an impact in these games?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. For me, I'm just kind of take it as a regular game and not really get caught up in that stuff and just go out there and, you know, play my game and do what I can to help the team win.
That's Walker Dewar post-game. He scores the game winner in a big 2-1 win for the Flames over the LA Kings. 7 games to go. 2 points back of tying the Jets. 3 points back of passing them in the Western Conference playoff standings. Okay, back to the text line we go. Phone line, there's one line open. So if you want to jump in, do so now. 403-240-4444. Now jumping in on the text line at 960-960. This says, hey, good evening. Was at the game tonight. Great game. Was awesome to see the Flames playing like they should be. My question's about Rasmus Anderson. I was impressed as usual, especially in the first period. Seemed like he was in the right spot every time, making plays. Had the goal, which was called off on the offside. In your opinion, would Rasmus pick a good captain? He's always been steady, always makes good plays, consistent, well-liked. They had a great run with Gio. Why not Rasmus? Got to get my boy to bed now. I think Rasmus would make a great captain. If they wanted to go down that road, he's vocal. He's respected. He is, seems like he's a long-term Flame. So I think he'd make a great captain if they were to go down that road at some point. This says 7 games and 3 points to gain. Jets get shut out by the Sharks. What? Yep, that is indeed true. This reads, Pat, the Flames are now 1 point away from controlling their own destiny. They're closer than one might think. They won't hold the tiebreaker, but with the game against the Jets in their control, the Flames could theoretically tie the Jets in the standings. Well, yeah, I mean, look, they, in some ways, they do control their own destiny because they've got 7 to go. If they, you know, go 7-for-7, well, then they'll go 9-for-9 to finish the year, and I guarantee you they'll make the playoffs in that case. If the Flames win their final 7 with the 2 they've already got, they'll get in. So in that case, they do control their own destiny. Realistically, they're still going to need a little bit of help, but As that texter said, you're trying to make up 3 points. Well, they're 1 more Jets regulation loss and 1 more point gained away at some point from that game between the Jets and the Flames on April 5th in Winnipeg, meaning everything for the Flames. So, and meaning everything for both sides. So, look, I mean, Winnipeg is absolutely soiling the sheets here down the stretch. Their last 2 months have been embarrassingly bad. That fan base is completely checked out, or if not checked out, then just furious. But people are lighting their hair on fire in Winnipeg right now because that team was fighting for number 1 in the conference, and I always thought that they were somewhat fraudulent for being that high in the standings. You know what this reminds me a lot of? Like, in so many different ways, this reminds me so much of the 2009-2010 season, where a somewhat fraudulent Colorado team was in the playoffs all year long, and then down the stretch with a team like Calgary bearing down on them, an underachieving Flames team with brand new players that everybody thought was going to make them better than they were. The Avalanche left the door open until, I want to say, game 79 or game 80 of the season, until they finally were able to clinch. And that's what this feels like. I'm not saying it's going to end the same way, but just the way that the Flames played in 09-10 to the way they've played this year in terms of how they've underachieved and how analytically they were so strong, but they couldn't win when we thought they should be winning, and so many games that they probably deserve better fates in, they didn't pick up the 2 points. You've got that comparison. You've got the fraudulent team, or somewhat fraudulent team, that is absolutely pissing it away down the stretch. Maybe this year it ends up with a slightly different result than it did in 2010. Now, I know it's 13 years ago, so it's the comparison's only just, you know, it's a recollection thing, but let's see how it goes. This says from Adrian in Cranbrook, I wonder, since they signed Coronado, will they have to send someone down when Tanev returns from injury? No, they're cap compliant, and after the trade deadline, there is no more there's no more roster limit. So you can go over 23 skaters, or 23 players rather, once the trade deadline is over. You just have to remain cap compliant. Once the regular season ends and the playoffs begin for the 16 teams playing, they can do whatever they want. There's no salary cap. There's no roster limit. You can do whatever once the playoffs are underway. This from Wedley, who says, big win. Don't dream it's over. This says, Pat, I thought all scoring plays were reviewed. Should the refs have reviewed the offside call with seconds left? It wasn't a scoring play. They called it offside, so they called it a delayed offside, and that's, it was just a weird one. Unfortunately, that was not reviewable by the league or by, you know, wasn't it, like, I don't think Daryl would have challenged, but maybe he would have. But it wasn't reviewable, period, and that's why it stayed 2-1. It was just an unfortunate play and a missed call by the officials, no doubt about it. This says, I'm just reading both the Jets and Sharks subreddits right now, and it's hilarious. Apparently, Sharks can't even tank properly. The Jets coach needs to be fired, and Reimer's apparently playing the best game of his life. It's hilarious. I can imagine that Sharks Reddit and the Shark subreddit and online discourse would be like, no, we want Bedard. And the Jets would, of course, as we already mentioned, I've seen it all enough already. Hair on fire, no doubt about that. This says, if the Flames win their games against the Jets and Predators, the playoffs are realistic. Man, the way things are going, it sure does feel like, for Calgary, game 79 in Winnipeg and game 81 at home to Nashville, sure feels like both those games might end up being pretty darn meaningful when it's all said and done. This reads, Pat, the Flames are the Mafia. Just when I think I'm out, they pull me back in. Have a good night. That's a good one. I like that. Ross writes, it was actually an impressive win. L.A. were lucky those goals got called back. I thought they deserved the win for sure. Little goaltending goes a long way, and they didn't even hit the post tonight. Just maybe the Flames can sneak into the playoffs. Gotta love Flames hockey. Let's get behind this team. This reads, Steinberg, Flames are going to pull this out. You better start growing your playoff beard. This says from TJ, I was at the game, and it's almost sad it took this long to see a full 60 minutes, but they're still in the hunt, and all you can ask is they gave it their all until the end. I believe they control their own destiny as the Keys are slumping. I think that means the Jets. As the Jets are slumping, and the schedule's against the Predators with injuries to key players, they're going to eventually run out of runway. Shout out to Kadri, who I thought was excellent, and why he is the highest paid player on the team. Uyghur's a stud. Nothing left to say there. The refs are just a joke this year. I saw, again, 2 mesh hits and no whistle, missed icings and offsides on top of the disallowed goals. This says, John here, I was impressed to see Gilbert get dumped behind the play, but showed maturity and discipline to just get back in the play. This from JC in Clarizon. Great game, my Markstrom. This reads, in Sutter we trust. Tonight was amazing. The boys played so okay, I'm going to try not to butcher it, because it's from another language. So it says, the boys played Sugapi, which means really good in Blackfoot. I hope I didn't butcher the Blackfoot language when trying to read that, but the text wanted me to read it, so I hope that I didn't butcher it. I probably did. I butcher enough enough words in the two languages I do know, so I probably messed that one up as well. But if I did, it wasn't intentional. I just want to say, love the land acknowledgement the Flames put out before each game. It's simply amazing and a great honor to our First Nations people to see that much respect as well. I have a lot of respect for the guys that play this sport, so tonight was simply amazing hockey. That's how all hockey games should be played, even though the referees made some calls that I don't agree with. Still made the game that much better. Some awesome entertainment. They will make the playoffs. Go Flames, go, from Siksika Nation. And then one more he wants me to give a shot saying. Sipiskus, give it a shot to saying it. I hope I didn't say it as poorly as I think I'm saying both the words you wanted me to say there. Appreciate you listening on Siksika Nation. Appreciate the text at 960-960. Great stuff on the text line. Do I have a couple more before we wrap things up? This says, I know he wouldn't be eligible for the AHL playoffs, but would Coronado potentially be able to jump into a regular season Wrangler game to get his pro hockey feet wet, or would that be likely acting in bad faith of what was agreed upon when signing the contract? He's actually not eligible to play in the AHL, period. The contract states that you're in the NHL for the rest of the year. And that's with most of the college guys that have come out. He would have had to sign an ATO or an amateur tryout to go to the American League, so he will not be playing American League games until next year. This from Cam in Tuscany. Markstrom was the difference in the first period. He has the force behind him. Of course, yeah, he's got Dan Vladar behind him. He got Darth Vader behind him. Of course, the force is behind him. And finally, last text says 960-960. Just wanted to say it was awesome to see the whole team supporting the LGBTQ2+ community. Lots of negative media around those who are sitting out these events, so it's important we also shine a light on nights like this where a whole team shows their support. Go Flames, go. Bang on. That is extremely well put. Important to celebrate those who are helping move things forward here. I think of guys like Lawton. Lawton and JVR in Philadelphia, who I thought just did incredible work the night Provorov sat out. Logan Couture when James Reimer decided not to. Matthew Tkachuk when the Stahl brothers decided not to wear the jerseys. And even John Merrill in Minnesota and the work that he's done with the community in that market. And Minnesota kind of backed off from wearing the jerseys. So I think it's important to talk about it, period. And I think it's so awesome to highlight the players who have taken a leadership role in that respect. I think Erasmus Anderson and the comments he made after Provorov decided not to. I think of Mackenzie Weegar today, and not trying to leave anybody out at all. You know, Michael Backlund was one of the first NHLers to ever march in the Pride Parade. I think he and Sven Berchi were the first two NHLers to ever march in a city's Pride Parade going back to 2014. I believe that's the case. So, you know, Michael Backlund's been a Pride ally going back to all the way back to 2014. So I think it's important to push back when people want to not wear the jersey, not support, be bigoted, whatever the case may be. And I also think it's important to underline those who are really pushing things forward like all the Flames did tonight, and that's really important as well. Great stuff on the text line at 960-960. Let's get back to the phone lines. Following a 2-1 win over the LA Kings, your Flames Talk postgame here on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Pat Steinberg, and let's say hello to Jeff. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Pat, what's going on? Hey, I just want to say I appreciate you, and I'll explain in a second. But I'm actually from Southern California, L.A., born and raised. I'm a lifelong Kings fan. But, you know, every beginning of every season, I pick a team to kind of follow on top of them. And since we're in L.A., we're close to Vegas, so I went to Vegas and bet on the Flames to win the Cup. And, you know, as we all know, it's been a roller coaster year. But aren't roller coasters fun, aren't they?
They can be.
But, you know, just kind of, I think, you know, following the Flames, you know, taking a step back, if we look at it, based on what the Flames have lost, you know, between Gaudreau and Tkachuk and what they picked up, I mean, inconsistencies, you know, kind of expected. But when you look at it, I'd rather be following the Calgary Flames than the Winnipeg Jets. You know, like you touched on earlier, you look at, you know, Hellebuck was their kind of stone at the beginning of the year, and now he's, you know, kind of lost a little bit of it. And, you know, Markstrom was a little shaky in the beginning, but he's starting to come together. And, you know, you look at how the team's slowly come together. That Sharks game that everyone's talking so negatively about at the beginning of the year, you know, that they won this past week. We were at the Kings game when they lost 8-2. I went with my 4-year-old son, and we went to the Ducks. So that was a lot of fun to make up for that. But, you know, I think momentum's on the Flames' side, you know, and I think when this roller coaster ends, the Flames will be, you know, maybe, you know, hopefully in the eighth seed. And I'm hoping they play Vegas because I want to make it out to that game. But, you know, I'd rather be on this roller coaster than the Winnipeg roller coaster, you know?
Well, right now the Winnipeg roller coaster is like they're on a log ride, but instead of just like clean water, it's into sewage every time. That's what it feels like the Jets are right now.
It sure is, but you know it's been. Don't get me wrong, I've been going crazy with you guys up in Calgary, and the reason why I say I appreciate you is because when a few of those Calgary fans come in calling saying some crazy stuff, you're kind of a contrary and kind of level us out. So I appreciate you for that. And I do want to say when we're at the Anaheim game, you know, my son, who's 4 years old, that was his birthday. He was really down the dumps after the Kings game. So Mark DePasquale, the equipment manager, actually, we had a sign, you know, for my son, tossed him a puck. So I really appreciate that. So Mark, if you're listening, you know, we really appreciate that. That made his day. He had a lot of fun that day.
That's awesome. That's what I expect from a guy like Mark DePasquale. But that's cool. That's awesome, Depot. If you're listening, you got a fan in Jeff in SoCal. That's awesome.
That's it. Yeah, sounds good. And you know, good luck. Hopefully, we make it to the playoffs, and I'll be following the Kings and the Flames. And I got money on the Kings, but you know, I got more money on the Flames. So you know, this year's the Flames. Let's go.
Appreciate the call, Jeff. You be well, man.
You too. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Take 4 more calls on this Tuesday night following a Flames 2-1 win. Let's say hello to Piero. What's going on, Piero?
Doing good. How are you doing, Pat?
I am well, my friend.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm happy with the win. Yeah, kind of rare that the Flames can win on a one-goal game.
Well, they're kind of used to playing them. What is this, the 452nd one-goal game they've played this year? I think that's, what, 43
right.
They've played this year now? I'm just going to take a look quickly to update in my head. So that was 27-4. That was the 43rd one-goal game of the season. So 43, that was game 75 tonight. So some quick math on my calculator. So 57% of their games this year have been one-goal games.
Yes, way too many. And they lost way too many, too, especially by 1 point. Like,
yeah, for
points.
Sure.
It's been bad. Yeah, it's nice to see that Markstrom is playing so well. Yeah, ever since he got a baby, it's been great.
It kind of feels like that. Whether that was the sole reason or not, I don't know. But certainly that, and at the same time, the team going to him and saying, we need you to be the guy, we need you to get hot, those two things seem to have really – and maybe they have nothing to do with it, but it seems like – it seems way too coincidental otherwise. So whether it's both of those things, one of those things, I don't know. But he's definitely gotten his season back on track.
Yeah, that's really great to see. I don't know how many times I wanted to call and say that I think they're going to make it to the playoffs. I think they're going to make it. And they stopped losing the faith. And then now they are back at it again. It's like a yo-yo season. It's more than a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's been crazy for all the fans, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a difficult year for fans. There's been a lot of things to be frustrated about, but you know, if they if they can get to the playoffs and actually make some noise, and they still have an uphill climb to get there, but if they can make the playoffs and make some noise once they're there, then a lot of the frustrations of the regular season would be pretty quickly forgotten, I would think.
Yeah. But it kind of makes sense. I mean, there's also excuses that you can find all over the place. Like, for example, losing Shillington, right? The whole season. Like, that guy last year had how many? 58 points, I think. Or maybe I'm crazy, but I think it was over 40 that we lost.
I don't know if he had that many points last year. What did he end up with?
I think
he
got
a.
He
had 31 points last year.
31 points. Oh, okay. I was way off.
No, but he still was. He played. He played almost every game for him, and he was a really important player for him. They definitely have missed Shillington this year.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, and that's especially for his offensive qualities, right?
Well, and his ability to his skating ability, the pairing that he made with Chris Tanev, like all of it, they miss him a lot.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that was important too. Yeah, it's and then Huberto and Uyghur, like having to adapt to a new club, being traded, right? I mean, it's a shock for them, even though they got like really good contracts, but yeah, still they're humans, right?
For sure, for sure. And I think it's been quite difficult. Quite difficult for Huberto at times, but even for him, you make it to the playoffs, I would imagine things feel a little bit better.
Yeah. So, well, there's hope. I mean, it would appear that everything is coming together, but who knows, right? It's hockey, so it's there's not that much difference. Like, they need to win against Vancouver, against...
they got to win their games. That's the most important thing.
If they start getting some momentum, yeah, but yeah. The only way is they need to win the next two games. I see it that way. And they are both, like, teams that they can get relaxed against. So they're gonna put up a good fight, too. So yeah, I went to the Ducks game, and it wasn't that. I mean, yeah, the Flames were kind of sloppy, but yeah. Yeah. So let's see what happens.
Exactly.
I'm not keeping my hopes too high, man. And yeah, I won't say I'm okay. It's good to know. Yeah, like I've heard you saying that. Yeah, that at least they are gonna play meaningful games to the end. So that's all what we hope realistically for.
Kind of feels like they're going to. So that would be the hope that you know we're actually watching some. Important games between now and, they're going to be important for the next three or four or five, that's for sure. Definitely feels like that game against the Jets will be a pretty big one. So let's see how it all plays out, Piero. I appreciate the call tonight.
Yeah. Thank you, bud.
Okay, brother, be well.
Thanks, you too. Have a good night.
Thanks, man. Final score, Flames take a 2-1 win over the LA Kings, and Jose is our final call tonight. What's up, buddy?
Is it me, or does Stetcher give you like a little bit of a resemblance to Al McInnes with that flow in the back and that look?
Yeah, I could see that. He's got a little bit and the scowl, I could see that.
Yeah, like, I don't know, he just has a little bit of almost like a little bit of a reincarnation of McInnes. I don't know if he's got the shot, but he's definitely got the flow.
I could see that, sure.
So I thought that was funny that Jay brought up some of those old school cats because I love hearing those names. So, Pat, I got to tell you, I'm on the fence here, man. I don't know what to think, what to predict, what to pray for, what's gonna happen. Like, these guys have me so down in the dumps 1 week, and here they are 2 points. Out of a spot now because Winnipeg, like you said, soiled the sheets pretty good against a really bad San Jose team that's trying to lose. And you'd almost think that Winnipeg is trying to do the same thing with the effort that they put against, I don't know, not good San Jose club. I mean, what can I say? Like, you know, the Flames, this game, to me, really resonates a Daryl Sutter message, a Daryl Sutter system. Boys, if you play this kind of game, you can get this kind of result. They were hard on pucks. They were winning puck battles. They were first to so many pucks. And, you know, they were checking hard. They were staying on their man. They really just, it was a gutter war this game. And because they were winning those small battles, I feel like that's why they won the game. And, you know, it's really relieving that the officials didn't have a factor with all those disallowed goals. And
yeah, no kidding. You're telling me.
Like, it's just such a relief that this game was decided in the trenches and not by the officials, because it was a really, I think, a really important building block. And I'll tell you the one thing, I kind of texted this in last time, but I texted too late and I was up against it on Saturday. The one guy to me, Pat, that has the complete control of these last seven games is Jacob Markstrom. He's the one guy that this falls entirely on, and I'll tell you why.
Well, not entirely.
The team in front of him.
I understand what you're saying. Not entirely.
But what I'm saying is this. The team in front of him has been inconsistent. The team in front of him has not won more than three games since, what, the beginning of the season?
At all.
Didn't they win three games to start the season?
They have, but they haven't won more than three games.
Right, so they haven't won. They haven't won three games since the beginning of the very
since
beginning of October.
Since December. December is the last time they won three straight.
They won three in a row. Okay, yeah. So that's, they haven't won more than three games in a row this year, but Markstrom was nowhere near as good at the beginning of the year as he is now. So
correct.
And I'll tell you this: if Markstrom can find a way to find his best stretch as a Flame in these next seven games, the team in front of them can feed off of that energy and build their confidence. And so this is why I'm saying this guy is pivotal in the way that these next seven games are going to go. If Markstrom has a strong performance, and that tonight was a strong performance, if he can keep this going for these next seven games, he needs to have his best stretch as a Flame right now, Pat, for this team to have anything to build on. And I'll tell you something, if they can put it together right now, if Markstrom can give them that backbone that this team needs to start believing in each other, to stop pointing fingers at each other, and just start pushing towards the same goal, towards the same result, it's incredible what winning can do. Winning can change everything. And, you know, if you start to build your confidence and you start gripping your stick a little less, and worrying a little less about trying to win the game on the next shift and just doing your job and doing what you have to do, it can have a big impact on the game. I mean, you look even – like, some of the guys still get on my nerves. Like, Richie tonight was okay. He was mostly invisible. You know, Huberto sometimes still gets on my nerves. Like, his effort, just his effort level. But the play of the team, like – a guy like Walker Dewar is coming in, and he's not doing anything flashy. He's not, you know, going out of his way to hit anybody, or he's not trying to, you know, fight every guy or you know, try to play out of it. He's just doing what he needs to do to stay in the lineup. He's working his ass off. He's getting pucks to the net. He's getting his butt. Like, he had more shots than anybody else on the team, I think, tonight, didn't he? Walker Dewar?
Five. So yeah, more than that led the team.
Yeah, I mean, the guy scored the game winner. I get a little tired of this rhetoric that Sutter doesn't play the kids and you know, like, the kids never get a fair shot. But hey, listen, this is a tough league to play in, and if you don't do what you're told, if you don't push it,
well, in fairness, Jose, like, I don't think Jacob Pelche stopped doing what he was told.
No, but Jacob Pelche is still in the process of becoming a pro.
I don't know. I don't. I'll disagree with you on him. I don't think there's any reason for him to be out of the lineup.
Well, I mean, if you're telling me that you're taking out Peltier to put in Richie, I'd say pull Richie out because he was, like I said, invisible. And so, Peltier could give you the speed that you need.
But Peltier sat six of the last seven. So I think he should be playing.
Yeah, and I'd rather see him in there over a couple guys. I mean, like I said, like Richie is a guy that I'd say he's a candidate to eat some popcorn and have a seat, but because he's not doing enough out there, you know. And the one thing is, if you put a line together of like, you know, Huberto was playing on that right side, I think, to accommodate Peltier, because Peltier is a left winger, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're both left wingers, but they shifted Huberto to the right there for a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that did a lot for the kid. So who are you going to pull out of the lineup to put in Peltier?
Richie, Lucic.
Yeah. But now, are you going to trust two kids on that fourth line?
Well, I don't think you.
If you're going to put Peltier,
I think you could put Peltier, Kadri, and Dubé together and have a great line. Anyway, that I'm just saying that like you can be frustrated at the coach for not playing young players. That's allowed, and fans are allowed to feel that way. But at the same time, doesn't mean they didn't play well tonight, and doesn't mean that Daryl Sutter's not a good coach, because Daryl does do a lot of really good things that still fly in this day and age in the NHL. The way that he wants this team to play, when they play it right, can be a winning brand of hockey. And against a really good Kings team tonight, we saw that. Anyway, we got to start to wrap up just because I just want to give you, just give you that little warning because we're at 8 minutes. So
that's all I got for tonight, buddy.
It's good to hear from you. We'll see how it all plays out.
We're gonna find out in a week from now how we're gonna feel, because last week it felt like the crapper, and this week it feels like
a week from tomorrow is that big Jets game, a week from Wednesday, so that game feels like it'll be important. It always has felt like it's gonna be important, but it feels like it'll be even more important. So we'll
that's
see
all
how
you can ask for, Pat.
Thanks,
that's
Jose.
Important hockey. Cheers, buddy. Have
see you, buddy.
Night, brother.
And that'll wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Thank you very much on the phone lines, as always. Thank you very much on the text line, as always. We'll do it all over again Friday night when the Flames are in at Vancouver. Time now for our final summary as we start to wind things down on our Flames Talk post-game show this evening. As the Flames never trailed in this 2-1 win over the Los Angeles Kings, they opened the scoring at $1.54 the first period on an Andrew Mangiapane power play goal. Mangiapane's 15th from Michael Backlund and Elias Lindholm, and it was 1-0 Calgary. But the Kings tie it at 9:24 the first period. All goals scored in the opening frame. Sean Durzi wires home his 8th of the year to make it 1-1. Durzi from Arthur Kaliev and Carl Grundstrom at 9:24, and it was 1-1. Kings get it back with just over 2 minutes to go in the first period. And what would turn out to be the game-winning goal, Walker Dewar takes a bounce off the end boards and puts it right past Jonas Korpisalo for his 6th of the year. Dewar from Trevor Lewis at 17:59 made it 2-1 Calgary. That was your score after 20 minutes of play. No scoring in the second period, despite a long goal review that went against the Flames, and it was 2-1 after 40 minutes of play. And in the third period, the Flames get some big hockey from Jacob Markstrom and do a pretty good job of playing with the one goal lead as well, and they close out the 2-1 victory. And they get all their goal scoring in period at number one, 2-1 at your final. Final shots, 34-32 in favor of L.A. Flames finish this game 1-for-3 on the power play. L.A. goes 0-for-2 with the man advantage. Your three stars in the building tonight, number three, Walker Dewar, number two, Andrew Mangiapane, and number one, Jacob Markstrom. With the win, Calgary improves to 34-26-15. They're back in action on Friday on the road at Vancouver, while L.A. drops to 43-21-10. They're back in action Thursday on the road in Edmonton. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers, Tim Khalil and Matt Jakusko, for our reporter, Logan Gordon, and for our outstanding producer, Azam Nanji. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We've been coming at you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge. If you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings, contact them today for a free estimate. For all things basement-y, visit dlbasementsystems.com. Next up for the Flames, Friday night in Vancouver. That is an 8 p.m. face-off right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan will be on the air at 7 o'clock with your Calgary Flames warm-up. Little Friday night hockey to wrap up the March schedule on March 31st. If you are, well, first of all, have yourself a wonderful rest of your week and a wonderful rest of your Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you are listening to this. Your final score from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, the Flames back within 2 points of a playoff spot. They beat the LA Kings 2-1 on this Tuesday. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts, and this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.